Let's get this hour started up here at Rosie on the House. 10 o'clock hour, brand new hour, fresh content, fresh guests. Mr. Dave Burns of Green ID talking building science. If you'd like to talk about what that means to you, or if you've got something unusual on your electric bill, or something's fishy or suspicious, or maybe you've been somewhere and you received a proposal that was supposed to do, save you 150% of your energy costs and cure cancer in your home, and you need a second opinion on that, you can dial in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923, and you can also email in to info@rosieonthehouse.com. And Mr. Byrne, last time you were with us, you had a little appreciation for our listeners, and I understand you've put something together again as well.
Yeah, absolutely. For all the Rosie listeners, we do a normal energy audit for $99, and we're cutting that in half for the Rosie listeners. We'll bring a $50 Visa card out with any $99 audit. So it'll cut in half. We'll do a full inspection of the house, thermal camera scan, get the energy audit report for half the cost.
Wonderful. Well, we appreciate that. And you've put together a list of items when we were talking about what level of education and what angle we were going to take. So let's spend a segment talking about products that were designed to save you money on your home that are questionable.
Sure.
we get quite we can always tell who's advertising heavily during the year because we start getting questions from homeowners. Hey, have you heard about blank? Have you heard about blank? This is supposed to do blank. Is this blank product a good investment? And we've put together a couple, and we'll talk specifically what may not be the why it might not be the best investment for an Arizona homeowner.
Sure.
And we'll politely put it that way.
The first one I got to talk about is the radiant barrier. And it's it does work, but it should be a second or third tier upgrade that a homeowner does to reduce their energy bills, not the primary or the first thing. And if you see a company from out of town, especially doing seminars on energy savings, maybe they give out a free lunch and they pitch the radiant barrier, and it's supposed to be applied on the roof slope, stapled to the trusses of the roof, not laid on the attic floor. And a lot of these out of town companies are used to vented attics where they just lay the radiant barrier on the attic floor, and that's acceptable. That's okay. But out here in Phoenix homes, where we have vented attics that get dirty and dusty, once you lay that radiant barrier on the floor and it gets a layer of dust over it, it's not doing anything anymore. It's worthless. So that's a big pain point.
So not a first, like you say, not a first tier priority, and the installation process is critical.
Yeah, that's the first thing they should do.
And so at that point, if it's not a first tier product and everything else is done right, you could be looking at a very long-term return on your investment.
Exactly.
Going forward.
Yeah.
If you're still trying to get a net zero energy bill, which will never happen.
And that's a good point, because you only get about 15% of our heat gain in the house from the attic. And so radiant barrier just goes after that attic heat gain. And if you take care of your insulation, your air sealing, your ductwork, that 15% gets less and less, and you're going after a smaller piece of the pie. Trying to solve it with a radiant barrier isn't the answer.
And when I say net zero, I meant of energy consumption. You can get your bill to net zero on solar, but you're never going to get a net zero energy home unless you build it from that way from the beginning, and you've got geothermal and 12-inch walls. So on a retrofit home, you're never going to get, no matter how much money you dump into it, a net energy consumption.
Yeah, that's right. We're just going after the efficiency waste during our energy audits, the duct leakage, or the low insulation, the things that cause extra spending on our energy bills. But you need that solar, you need that extra kick to actually go net zero.
Check radiant barrier off the list. I love it. Next.
Okay, the reflective paint coatings on the outside of the house.
You're talking about a coating that's as thick as a piece of paper, doesn't reflect a bunch of heat off my walls?
That's right. It sounds good in theory, but I haven't seen it work. And it's called, I think, a cool paint that has some reflective properties in it, and it's applied to the exterior of the house. It cost a heck of a lot of money, but we haven't seen good results from customers that have done it.
Now, have you seen the cork product?
No.
Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit later. That's one kind of in a testing phase right now for us locally. What they show from their 15-year history in Spain is impressive, but it's a completely different story. All right, so reflective paint,
okay,
not a priority.
Yep, and then to go along with that radiant barrier is a solar attic fan, and these really get under our skin because the attic fans will actually draw conditioned air from the inside of the house into the attic, and you're basically wasting your conditioned air, and the attics don't need to be ventilated typically any more than they already are. If they have
heat rises, so especially if you have a ridge vented home, the heat's going to hit the pitch, make its way to the peak, and exhaust out. Mm-hmm. So it's just a convectional, natural ventilation.
Yeah, and our attics do get super hot, and it makes sense, you know, that if you put ventilation through the attic, it's going to help cool the attic and cool the ductwork. But I've stood right in front of one of those fans, and I barely feel any air going across my skin. It doesn't feel any cooler when we do our work in the summer with an attic fan or not. So,
and if you let it just go naturally, you don't create a negative pressure. When you start sucking, well, air's got to come into that attic space, and that's where you're talking about. It will suck conditioned air from inside your home into the attic, around light fixtures, around duct penetrations, through the drywall.
Yep, yeah, all those places. It's just something you can live without. You can put your money towards better efficiency products, get more insulation, get your ductwork sealed up.
Drywall sheets come in 8x4 typically. Some are 12-foot long, but just like a sheet of plywood. So every place they're butted up, there's a seam. Now, they do mud over those, but there's still an air gap through there.
Yeah, if a homeowner takes the register off, you can look around the gap between the register boot, the sheet metal boot, and the drywall, and that's a source of air leaks where your conditioned air is being lost into the attic.
All right, so no radiant barrier, no reflective paint coats, no solar attic fans, or even any powered attic fans, period.
Yep.
So those first came out, and then they said, well, we'll make a solar one. That way you don't have to pay for the electricity.
Yeah.
So now you're sucking air conditioned out of your home for free instead of, you know, 10 cents a month for the cost of that electrical motor.
Yep. So
no power attic fans of any kind.
Okay. And then I have on here the magnetic window screens. And for energy efficiency, energy savings, These screens, I don't think, don't hold their weight. They don't hold water. And we were talking about before for soundproofing that it's a good recommendation. But for energy savings, for windows, which is a big source of heat gain, we like any kind of shading. So a shade screen or a trellis or a tree, anything to shade that glass is going to be a good thing. But the magnetic window screens, just don't think it's going to give you the savings that you're looking for.
Yeah. Always on windows, attack from the outside.
Yeah.
Get the sun off the window.
Yeah. And for shade screens, you want to ask your installer to flip that screen around so the spline is facing the outside.
Which you look at it and you think aesthetically, well, that's backwards.
That's right. That's right. But it puts
that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. It puts that extra millimeter or two distance between the glass and the screen, and it offsets it a little bit, and it's better than having the screen right up against the glass where you get a little bit more heat transfer into the home.
You need that airspace, you know, just like they don't put on dual pane windows, the glass isn't touching itself. It's got the air gap. It needs that air gap to be relevant. Same principle. You need that air gap. You need the screen off the glass for it to be as effective as it's designed for.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's not really a product, but any company that's giving you a big estimate for cost savings. So if their specific product is going to save you 30% on your energy bills, that should be a red flag for homeowners that it's going to be over-exaggerated. It may not do what it's intended to do. If you think about our heating and cooling bill, our bill probably jumps up 50% in the summertime. And if a company is telling you you're going to save 30% on your total energy bill, it's not going to make sense that your bill is going to go down 30% in the wintertime compared to the summertime. So that's another red flag if your energy savings are really inflated and they don't line up with what an actual homeowner is spending.
Look for the verbiage. If it'll save on your cooling costs.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yeah, yeah.
Not drop, they try and, like you're saying, try and get in perspective, over my overall bill. No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and that's what we're going after, mostly the cooling energy savings rather than the total savings, because the baseline energy use is going to be pretty much constant all year round from the appliances, refrigerator, TV, everything that we use every day. It typically doesn't change, or we're not going after those savings as much as the duct ceiling or the insulation. That's going to cut the cooling bill.
Which brings us to our last one that attaches onto your meter.
Yes,
I'll let
Kevar.
You take that one.
these are called Kevar boxes, and they're supposed to be a load controller for the house. They're kind of like a surge protector to prevent from electrical spikes. A lot of them go with the radiant barrier, so you'll see companies pitching Kevar units with a radiant barrier. But again, we haven't seen any actual savings from these products that were installed.
It is a power factor unit. In a commercial application, it can that's using miles and miles of copper lines and electrical consumption, it can have an application. But in the home, that energy that they're supposedly saving you on, the Corporation Commission doesn't allow the utility companies to charge for that consumption. So it's not something that if you saw that little millisecond of energy savings, the utility companies can't charge you for that electricity anyway. It was designed for commercial application, and it'll work in a large factory, not in your home.
Yeah, that's right.